Well, hello, my little creepies. Oh, yes. It's that time again. We talk about UFOs and Bigfoot, paranormal, true crime, and conspiracy stories, and all things creepy. Yes, this is The Creepy Show. You can find us online at creepy.show. And I'm your host, the Master of Creep.
Tonight's story is about a random number that pops into somebody's life. Do you have a number that you see everywhere you go? I know I do. It's number 42. Yes, 42 has a memory attached to it for me. 42 would be the score that I would make on an average science test in high school, because I was a complete moron. Well, hello there. It's I, the Master of Creep. Tonight's story, The Mystery of 427. At exactly 4:27 in the morning, every light in the house came on. Everyone was sleeping, and the sudden light was an abrupt wake-up for the entire family. Dad yelled out while still half asleep, "Who turned on the lights?" It was a large home in Chicago's Lincoln Park area. The house had about 6 bedrooms, 7 bathrooms, and an office. All in all, it was more than 6,000 square feet. Then there were 27 separate light switches, and all of them were turned on at the exact same time. The Jones family consisted of 4 kids and 3 adults living in the house, and it took them more than 10 minutes to turn out all of the lights. Mom and Dad just stayed up and had an early morning snack in the kitchen and talked about the event. How did this happen? It wasn't just a case where the electricity power was off and turned back on. We're talking about 27 separate switches that had to be turned on at the same time. Spencer Jones, the head of the household, drove to work in downtown Chicago later that morning. Spencer was an attorney at a law firm that dealt with class action lawsuits against larger companies, mostly for product failures and injury claims. Sarah, Spencer's wife, was a homemaker. Cleaning up after 4 kids and a husband and a mother-in-law was a full-time job. They also had a maid that came in once a week to help out. Even the maid gets involved with the strange occurrence. It just so happened that the maid was scheduled to work that day. While cleaning one of the mirrors in the house, the maid asked Sarah, "What's with the 427 on the mirror? It looks like someone wrote with their finger dipped in some kind of light grease, like lipstick, only it was clear. The number 427. She said that she had to clean it off. Sarah said, "Well, show me what you're talking about." The maid said, "Well, I've already cleaned it off, so now it's not there anymore." Sarah said, "Well, that's strange, because this morning at exactly 4:27, all of our lights came on. Maybe we have a ghost." The maid said, "Oh, that's freaky. Maybe someone is playing a prank on you." And Sarah said, "How could someone turn on all the lights at the same time?" The maid reminded Sarah that today was Wednesday, April 27th, 1994. That would also be 4:27. And Sarah said, "This is really getting weird." When Sarah's husband returned home from work, she told him about what the maid had said. Spencer said, "It was probably just a coincidence. In fact, there's a name for this phenomenon, and it's called synchronicity. Sarah looked up the word synchronicity and learned that it was first introduced by analytical psychologist Carl Jung. Synchronicity is the simultaneous occurrence of events that appear significantly related but have no discernible causal connection. Sarah started noticing the number 427 everywhere. Every time she came across the number 427, she would point it out to Spencer. "See? It happened again. There's that number again." Spencer said, "You see 427 because you're looking for it. You could pick any three numbers, and if you're looking for them, you'll find them everywhere." Sarah went to a coffee shop, and the bill came to $4.27. Sarah went to the store and noticed that ground beef was on sale for only $4.27 a pound. She just couldn't get the 427 out of her mind. Sarah started learning about numerology. She refused to accept that the number 427, which kept popping up in her life as a coincidence. Sarah learned that in numerology, the number 427 is a master number that cannot be reduced. It's a very powerful number, and it's a symbol of ambition and genius, but it also means madness. It offers great possibilities. However, it is a double-edged sword. It can bring you glory, wealth, and success, but it also leads to excess tension and depression and destruction. Sarah tried to talk to Spencer about this, but he seemed very dismissive about the whole subject. He would shut her down every time she brought up any number coincidences. Spencer said, "Look, I don't really believe in this stuff, and I don't want to discuss it right now." Sarah's agony seemed to be getting out of hand. She really wanted to discuss the possibilities of this number, which seemed to be haunting her life. She even started going to a numerology discussion group, and there she found other people who had similar experiences. Not with the number 427, but each person had their own number that would pop in and out of their lives randomly. Sarah told the group, and they seemed to understand, and more importantly, they believed her. It seemed that these people were the only ones who would pay attention to Sarah's concern. She was driving the rest of her family nuts with her constant relationship with the number 427. And as time passed, the number 427 stuck with her. During that summer of 1994, Sarah would run into the number 427 just about everywhere she would go. Her family started making fun of her 427 obsession. Her kids would make jokes. "How much am I going to get for my allowance? $4.27? It was a running constant joke in the Jones household. Sarah would laugh too, but deep down, she was disturbed. She didn't know the meaning of 427. However, she felt that someday it might be meaningful. Sarah learned quickly not to bring up the subject because of all the jokes and ridicules. She grew tired and resentful of all of the jokes about her obsession with 427. Just because she stopped talking about it didn't mean that 427 was out of her mind. The number kept coming up every day in life. Some days were better than others, but a day didn't go by without 427 popping up. Sarah kept going to the numerology group for support, and each member had a different opinion about her 427. She only talked about this to her group because all of her friends and family were tired of the obsession. The only people who didn't make fun of her were group members. They seemed to understand and were willing to talk to her about it. Some of the group members claimed that different numbers had different meanings. They claimed that everyone had an angel number. Something about certain numbers, such as 1111, or a combination of numbers like 222 or 333, 444, 555, and so on. They claimed that each set of numbers had its own meaning. In numerology, this sequential repetition is referred to as angel numbers. Angels speak to us in synchronistic ways, which basically means that we will see something over and over again so much that it goes beyond mere coincidence. All of this kind of talk was way over Sarah's head. She was starting to think that some of the people in her group were a little crazy. This gave her a little insight on how her family must feel about her always talking about the number 427. Spencer gives Sarah a test. Spencer asks Sarah, "Are you willing to try something? Let's just see what happens. I believe that you can take any set of three numbers, and if you focus on them, you'll start seeing them all the time." Spencer said, "Let's pick 529. I want you to focus on 529 for the next few days. Let's see if that number starts popping up in your life." Sarah agreed, and she wrote down 529 and started looking at it before going to bed each night. She intentionally started looking for the number 529 everywhere she went. But after an entire week, the number 529 only came up once at the grocery store, where $5.29 was the price tag on a package of tilapia fish sticks. But this wasn't the same thing. The number 427 would come up daily, not just once a week. She understood Spencer's thinking, but it just wasn't the same. I guess unless you're living it, you just won't be able to understand it. Spencer travels a lot in his business. Spencer had a business meeting scheduled for Friday, September the 9th, in Pittsburgh. He was going to stay over for the weekend and was scheduled to return home in Chicago on the following Monday, September the 12th. Spencer did a lot of traveling for his business, and he would fly all over the country to talk to clients. He was away from home about 25% of the time. His secretary would make all of the travel arrangements, and Sarah would take him to the airport so they didn't have to pay for the parking. The day before Spencer was scheduled to leave, he had his plane ticket on the kitchen table. Sarah saw the ticket and opened it up. And there it was again. U.S. Air Flight 427, scheduled to leave for Pittsburgh on Thursday, September the 8th. Sarah said, "Oh, hell no. You're not taking that flight." Spencer said, "What are you talking about?" Sarah said, "Look at the flight number. It's Flight 427. Spencer said, "Are you kidding me? You're not going to start that again, are you?" Sarah and Spencer argued for the next couple of hours. Sarah said, "I have been very quiet for the past few months about this 427 thing, but I have been seeing way too many coincidences lately about this, and I feel very strong about this. I am not taking you to the airport unless you change your flight." Spencer was red in the face, mad, and he said, "Fine, I'll get another flight, but when I get home, we need to take you to a psychiatrist or something." Sarah called and made the change. Spencer was taking an earlier flight with a different flight number. Thursday, September 8th, 1994. Sarah took Spencer to the airport. And they were still mad at each other, and the ride to the airport was mostly silent. Spencer got out of the car at the airport and said, "Bye, I'll call you tonight." And with that, he was gone. Later that night, Spencer called Sarah. Spencer said, "Okay, I'm here. I got in about 5 p.m., and I went to the hotel and took a nap." I think I'll go downstairs and maybe get some dinner. And I'm sorry that we had that argument before I left." And Sarah said, "Uh-huh. So have you turned on your TV yet?" Spencer said, "No, why?" And Sarah said, "Why don't you go turn on your TV and then call me back a little later?" And then Sarah hung up the phone. Spencer wondered, what the hell was that all about? He turned on his TV and saw a local emergency on almost every channel. U.S. Air Flight 427 crashed on final approach into Pittsburgh, killing everyone on board. It seems that U.S. Air Flight 427 lost control and went into a steep dive, resulting in more than 4 G's of pressure before impact. The 737 hit the ground traveling about 300 miles per hour. All 132 people on board the aircraft were killed, resulting in the deadliest plane crash in Pennsylvania history. Spencer called Sarah back and apologized profusely. He asked for forgiveness. Sarah accepted the apology and said, "Well, I'm glad that I got your flight changed. Otherwise, I would be getting the call from U.S. Air." And from that day on, the number 427 stopped appearing randomly in Sarah's life. She no longer sees 427 everywhere she looks. Her family stopped teasing her about the numbers. Sarah stopped going to the numerology group because she felt it was no longer needed. She finally got her answer to the 427 question. She does recall one of the group members talking about a personal spiritual angel looking out for you and using numbers to communicate with you. At the time, she thought this person was a little crazy, but now she has a different opinion. Do you see numbers? Is there a number haunting you in your life? If you ask Sarah, she would tell you not to ignore it.
As the casket closes on another creepy episode, we bid you farewell to the shadows that danced upon your fears. Oh, and thank you for joining us on this creepy journey into the unknown, where the darkness whispers secrets and the silence echoes within your soul. Find us online for some extra creepy content at creepy.show. And if you happen to make it through the night, don't forget to share this podcast with someone you want to terrorize. Good night, my little creepies. Sleep with one eye open, for the night is long and full of horror.